ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശീലഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട് രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗാമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധിനാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗ്രഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധരമവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്തിർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോഹരധേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോർത്ഥവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത് പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനത്തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാത്തേഷഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസഗുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിതകൈതമൂത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാപരേ ഈശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപ്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുപേതമപേതകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവാഹിനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയിതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അദ്യാൽപദീപമതിതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുക്കൊണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോഹ മമ വാചി വിചൃംബദാം മുരാരേ മധുരിന്ന കണികാഭി കാഭികാഭി നമാ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജശ്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം നരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കുജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയരേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന കൃതിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാ മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അമ്പത്വാ മനസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേവ്യാസ വിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന ബാലിജാതായ തോത്രവേ ത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുതീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജേദ്രതജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണീന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാ ഭൂതിദം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതമംഗജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിനശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാരുണീന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്നും ദിവ്യൈ സവൈർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥേതദ്ഗതേന മനസാവശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So that last two classes we saw the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how it's different from the other cantos in the sense that Krishna's presence in the creation, how Shuga Brahmarshi is seeing that. That's what we have found. How Sukadeva Goswami sees Krishna in this creation. Not how we see Krishna in the creation, how Sukadeva Goswami sees Krishna in the creation. That is why you saw, remember, the different islands were spoken. Plaksham, Shalmali, and then Pushkaram, Shagam, Kraunjam. Like that, seven islands were spoken. And there you saw there that in Plaksham, Shuga Brahmarshi is saying, Krishna is present in the form of sun there, in the form of the sun. Right? Why? Because without sun, living entities cannot live here. There is no living entities. Therefore, the personalities in Plakshadweep, they worship Krishna in the form of sun. That's what it is saying. So, in fact, Surya Upasana, worshipping sun, has been there in all traditions for a long time. And in Gayatri Mantram also, is saying to Krishna, who is present in the sun planet, to give us the right intelligence. Isn't it? Savidur Varenyam, Bhargo Divasya Dhimahi. That Savidur Varenyam is Krishna present in the sun planet as sun. In other words, what it's saying is that give us the right intelligence so that our mind will engage in spiritual activities or things meant for advancement in spiritual life. In such activities, our mind will get absorbed. That is what that prayer means. Give us that intelligence, because Krishna controls our intelligence from inside. He can change our intelligence to do anything it wants. So, if Krishna gives us the right intelligence to act on a spiritual life, then that's beneficial. So, that's what he is saying here. Then, Shalmali, in the island called Shalmali, moon is worshipped there. In Kusha Island, Agni, the fire, is worshipped there. In Kraunjam, the seven islands you are seeing there, sun and moon in two, and the remaining five all material elements. Water, Agni, and in Kraunjam, it is water, because without water, nobody can survive. That's also another material element. And they are seeing there in Kraunjadweep, Kraunjam Islands, they see water as the representation of Krishna there. They worship Krishna in the form of water there. And in Sagaram, air is worshipped. In Pushkaram, everything is seen as Krishna's presence and known as Brahman there. He is worshipped in that form. Whichever way you call it in different islands, Krishna's presence is recognized by those inhabitants of those islands and they worship in a particular form. So, just like whichever way you call it, it is fine, because if you take a huge block of gold and you made a lot of different jewelry from that, ornaments from there, but whichever you take it, ultimately it's all gold, isn't it? It's all gold. So similarly, in whichever form you are worshipping, ultimately you are worshipping Krishna in a different way, different aspect, right? So there is a saying in the Upanishad, Sarvadeva Namaskaram Keshavam Pradigachati. Whichever you are offering respects to any other devadas, Krishna also says that in the Bhagavad Gita, in another way, that if I offer obeisances to any form, ultimately you are offering to me, Krishna is saying. Sarvadeva Namaskaram Keshavam Pradigachati. So, wherever you offer obeisances, ultimately it reaches Krishna. Right? So, therefore, that's all spoken in that way. This is all basically spoken in the fifth canto. Then it spoke about all the planets in the sky, which are present in the sky. The way we are seeing them, that's not how the scientists are seeing that, right? Then, scientist means that those who are studying Shastram, Jyotisham and Vedam, they look at the planets in a different way. Why? They have special meaning for their observations. It's not like our observations, right? They know that particular stars will be seen in the sky at a particular place, at a particular time. They have found out all these things. Without any instruments, they have found out that certain stars will appear in certain places at a certain time, and they have found out that. And they will understand a lot more than what we understand about them. For example, when we look at it, we see a lot of stars, very rarely though. We see a lot of stars in the sky, nothing more than that for us, right? So, whereas those who have studied Jyotisham, Jyotishastram from the Vedam, they know that this particular star will appear at particular time, and they also know how long that star will be present there. This is an amazing thing, that certain stars appear at a particular time and after some time they disappear in the sky. Of course, we are so busy with the world here, we don't have time to look at the sky and worry about it, so we don't know these things. But rishis knew these things and its significance as well. And when they look at it, they find a lot of meaning to all that, the connection with the stars and this earth. And on that basis only they are saying things in the fifth canto. So, and in order for the devotees to see Krishna, in all their things, if you are able to see it like the way they have spoken in the fifth canto, and that's why they have talked about, you remember, a Shishumara Swarupam. There is a form mentioned in the Bhagavadam, a crocodile form the stars are taking, in a crocodile form. So, in that way it has spoken about that in detail. It was at that time, Parikshit Maharaj asked this question. Then, he says, from the 16th chapter to 26th chapter, those chapters are description of the Jyotirgola. Jyotirgola means the stars in the sky, all the planets in the sky, right? So structure of the universe is spoken there. But prior to describing that, these forms were spoken. Which one? This Jambu Divam, Plaksham, Shalmali, Kusham, Kraunjam, Shagam, Pushkaram. The names were spoken for the different islands were spoken. And its explanation comes later, right? So things what is spoken is very elaborate, but it is spoken in a very summary form in the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam, it is spoken in a very summary form. So, when you take for Jambudvip is the most important one among them. Out of those nine Gandham, the sectors they call it, and if you want to read through the stotrams, the glorifications of Krishna in different Jambudvip and the different sectors, which we call it as Varsham, Hari Varsham, Ilavradam, and Kimpurusham, and Bharata Varsham, all are different Varshams. Varshams are the sectors in the Jambudvipa. The other one was the islands separately, which the Dweeb, it was spoken. Jambudvipam, Plaksham, Shalmali, Kusham, Kraunjam, Shakam, Pushkaram, they are islands. And then we have seen in Jambudvip they have made the sectors out of that, which we call as the Harivarsham, Milavardham, and all that, right? So, there, in each sector or Varsham, the glorifications. And if you want to read through those glorifications in that fifth canto, in each sector, how Krishna is glorified, it will take hours and hours to understand each word used in each of those stotram, in each of those worship. That is how big that is. To understand each mantram or the stotram in the form, mantram in the form of a stotram, spoken in all these different sectors, which is called Harivarsham, Milavradam, Ramyagam, Hiranmayam, Kuru. Like this, they have mentioned seven sectors in Jambudvip, where Krishna is worshipped in different forms like Ramachandra, Narasimham, fish, tortoise, and Varaham, and all the different forms. And the glorifications to each of those forms mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you want to understand that, it will take many, many hours. Because each word used in the mantram, used for the stotram, is a mantram. And it has been structured, taken from the Veda. That is why it's so difficult. So, there is so much in it. Each one of them, if you want to study those stotrams seriously, right? But, only thing, today we have to see that there is a lot in there. That much if we understand, it's enough, right? In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is like this, that any part after our salsangam, before you come to the next salsangam, you should reflect on it, about everything, what we are talking about, right? This canto 5 is a very special canto, because in Vedanta Sutram also, which Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Vedanta Sutram, isn't it? Even there, these things what is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam about these planetary systems, based on that, certain things are mentioned in the Vedanta Sutram also. So in other words, Vedanta Sutrams, many things we won't understand. If you want to get a copy of Vedanta Sutram and read through it, you won't make any understanding of what is mentioned there, because it's all in the form of sutram. And on that sutrams, there is commentaries on that. And on that commentary, there is commentary on that. That is how it goes, because of the difficulty in understanding that. And many things in the Vedanta Sutram, particular to this part of fifth canto, is connected with Bhagavatam also. Bhagavatam, although Vedavyas compiled it later, he has not changed very much from Vedanta Sutra when he brought into Bhagavatam, those parts. So, as he mentioned before, that Janmadhyasya Yadaha, he began with, that's the second sutram in the Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra. Janmadhyasya Yadaha is the second sutram. Adhado Brahma Jijnasa is the first one, Janmadhyasya Yadaha is the second, right? So, Janmadhyasya Yadaha means what? That what he's saying is that everything you're seeing here, the beginning and the end, is from that source. Satyam Param Dhimahi. That Param Satyam is the truth, from there everything is coming. That's what Bhagavatam begins, isn't it? Janmadi asya yataha. Janmadi asya, its birth, this whole creation is coming from that source. Satyam Param Dhimahi, that Satyam, absolute truth. From there it comes, right? By saying that, Vedavyasa is saying to us that this creation, what you are saying, it has a very important part in the Krishna consciousness also. It has an important part that you cannot deny it, because normally we have a feeling about this world, it is for vyavaharam, isn't it? Vyavahariga satta, it's called. Vyavahariga satta means it's a transactional place where you do a lot of transactions and you are gone from here. Temporarily we are here and we do a lot of transactions here. That's why it's called Vyavahariga Satta. Right. So, we will say that the world is avidya and all things like that. But, up to a certain extent, it has an important place also in self-realization. This world, up to a certain extent, it has a part to play in self-realizations. Right? In practically what it's saying is that if your mind is going into the world a lot and your mind is focused on something or the other and you're not able to withdraw the mind from the world inwardly, because that's what most of the people have the problem. From right from the beginning, we practiced ourselves like that, busy with the world. As soon as you open our eyes, we see the world, and then we got busy with the world, rest of it. So, in that situation, if that way the mind is working in the world, way our mind is involved in the world, if we can change that, mold it in a particular way, in such a way that whenever you see something in the world, if it reminds you Krishna in some way, then it is okay. Whatever we see in this creation, if it reminds us Krishna somehow, then even if the mind goes outside the world, it should not do much harm. It is for that purpose, this Bhugola Varmana, this description is for that purpose. Shukha Brahma Shri is saying to us, if the mind is going outside, some people will find it very hard, because it's not possible for everyone to become inward looking. And because we got used to this, isn't it? We at our old age are trying to understand spiritual life. And these are actually meant for those yogis and jnanis who from very early in life they have come to this process without any interest in this world. That's a different story. But for ordinary people who find it very difficult to withdraw the mind from this world, the only option left is that they train the mind in such a way that we recognize Krishna's presence in this world somehow, and that way remember Krishna. It is only for that purpose this whole description is about. Nothing else. There is no other point behind it, right? For example, they say that Krishna wears the yellow garments, isn't it? So when you see a yellow flower, it should remind you of Krishna's yellow garment. Similarly, when you see the dark clouds in the sky, it should remind of Krishna's color, bodily colors, right? And similarly, many things like when you see mountains, you should remember of the Govardhana hill Krishna has lifted. And when you see the rivers flowing, it should remind you of the Ganga river came from Krishna's lotus feet. And so many things, right? And you will see in the Bhagavatam, if you look, there is a very interesting verse in the very end of Bhagavatam. Very end of Bhagavatam. That is in the 12th canto, 13th chapter, the second verse. And that verse is saying there that Prashte Brahmyada Manda Mandaragiri Gravagra Kandu Yanam Nidra lokamadha krader bhagavada shwasa nila panduva yel samskara kalanu vartana vashal vela nibhenam bhasam Yatayatamadandidam Jalanithir Adhyabhi Vishramyadi. Suta Goswami is closing Bhagavatam. 13 verses in the 13th chapter. In there, the second verse is like this. This verse, what I have just spoken, the second verse, right? What that saying is that when Krishna appeared in the tortoise form, Kurma, tortoise form, and he lifted the Mandara mountain from the bottom during the churning of the milk ocean, the mountain went down, and both demigods and the demons, they were very upset about it, right? So nobody could do anything. They were just looking at each other, not knowing what to do. At that time, Krishna comes as the tortoise form. Tortoise incarnation happens at that time. That's where tortoise incarnation comes in the Bhagavatam. He comes at the bottom of the Mandara mountain and gives a support from the bottom, and he lifts. That churning of the milk ocean is all Krishna's incarnations in there. He appeared as Dhanvantari, he appeared as tortoise, so many incarnations there. All together in that eighth canto is nothing but incarnations, a feast of incarnations of Krishna. So Krishna appeared and he lifts this Mandara mountain from the bottom. And what it says here, that and this tortoise incarnation, it felt very happy. Nidra alo kamata kradir bhagavada shwasa anilapanduvam. Because when the Mandara mountain was churning on the top of the tortoise was feeling, somebody was scratching it. It was feeling itchy. And this mountain, when it was rubbing on the top, it felt very comfortable. It felt good, right? And because it felt good, the tortoise went to sleep, started sleeping, right? So, and at that moment, from the tortoise, when it started, it started breathing heavily because of this rubbing at the back. It started breathing. Nidralo kamatakradir bhagavada shwasa nila panduva. And during that breathing, the waves have come in the ocean. And apparently that is how the waves started in the ocean first time. The birth of the waves in the ocean is from the tortoise incarnation. When it started breathing heavily, from there it started happening like that. So what does it mean? What was the main purpose of saying that? Because when you see the waves, you should remember Krishna, tortoise incarnation. You should remember at that time. That was the purpose of saying that. Right? So whenever we see something in this world, if we can relate that with Krishna, then you can say that you are seeing the world properly. If somehow you can relate that with Krishna. But if you see the world separately from Krishna, then you are seeing Maya. That's what he's saying here. So this is what this fifth canto is trying to help us. If our mind is too outwardly going, or it is not able to bahirmugatvam, not antarmugatvam. Antarmugatvam means inward looking. Bahirmugatvam means outward looking. If it is too outward looking, because for many people, you can observe yourself. Those who have not practiced it that way, they find it very difficult to go inwards. And most of the science around spiritual life is inwardly. And that is why spiritual life becomes a little difficult. External looking, outward looking all the time. So for their help, for their benefit, this fifth canto has spoken. For those who are very bahirmukham, very outward looking, for their benefit, fifth canto was spoken. But what do? We make it as a modern science and complicate the whole thing. That's not the idea behind it. So, recognizing Krishna in the creation, that is what is spoken through the fifth canto. Recognizing Krishna in the creation. Right? When we don't have that vision in the world, that means when you don't have that proper understanding of the creation, like the way it's spoken in the Bhagavatam. Instead, in darkness, we are experimenting with the world, trying to understand this world in a gross level, not knowing that Krishna is behind it. Krishna is in there. We are not seeing Krishna. That is the problem. So without Krishna, if you try to understand this world, it won't make any sense. That's what it's saying. In this fifth canto, is saying to us. Without Krishna, if you try to understand this world, it won't make any sense. Therefore, in other words, they say, if that way of thinking, our way of thinking itself, if it's not proper, then wrong ways will come inside and control us in our research or way of looking at things, right? So, therefore, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying here that everything what you see in this creation, see it connected to Krishna somehow. To see everything in this creation connected to Krishna. But he's saying to Parikshit, I'm explaining all these things to you only for this purpose, in various ways, to see Krishna in the creation. To make Parikshit aware that this creation itself is Krishna. Krishna's presence is more important than everything else what you see with the eyes here. So somehow to bring that concept into Parikshit's mind, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying to Parikshit, I have spoken about this creation to this extent, to you, right? So it is at this way, the 16 to 26 chapters goes like this, talking about this creation with Krishna's presence in that. You can see all this is meant for people who have that little bit of seriousness in spiritual life. Only they can understand these things, what is spoken, and they will follow this fifth canto route very well. All this is quite complex, it is. It's not so simple as we think that to develop that way of looking at things. Because you will see later on, Krishna is going to say to Uddhava the same thing. Remember what he said to him. He said, you have to look at everything that when he closed this Bhagavatam, at the end he said that to Uddhava, isn't it? Everywhere you have to see me at the end. And that he says, Krishna is saying that is the highest realization. I think it is in the... one of those verses where he's saying that unless you see me in all these things, it's all useless, he said. Krishna is saying to Uddhava in the Parasabhava Karma, I think that's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. Almaiva tadidam vishvam srijyate sajati prabhu. Trayade tradi vishwalma hriyade hadir ishwara. If you look at the verse 6 in the chapter 11:28:6, the same principle what Shukha Brahmarshi is saying to Parikshit, Krishna is saying that to Uddhava. What is he saying? Almaiva tadidam vishvam. When Krishna says, my presence means the soul, presence of Almaiva tadidam vishvam. Whole creation is nothing but me, Krishna is saying. Srijyate srijyati prabhu. And it has come out like this. And trayade tradi vishwatma hriyade harade ishwara. All those verses is referring to the same thoughts here, what Shukha Brahmarshi is saying to Parikshit. These are things you have to sit and think about, all these things. Otherwise, it should not be heard and left out like that. You have to think why it is spoken in a particular way, and what Krishna is saying also to Uddhava, the same thing, right? Uddhava also, he is saying the same thing. So, after saying that, he is saying that one last chapter, the last chapter in the, that is the 26th chapter. What is that? Parikshit asked this question at that time. After hearing all this description, you can also think like this. You see, Shuga Brahmarshi won't say something silly or lacking some spiritual understanding to Parikshit at a time like this when he is leaving the body. If he is saying something, it must have a lot of meaning to it. Otherwise, he won't have spoken this. He will not have spoken this. Is it not? You can understand. A person who is leaving the body in a few days' time, would you think that Shuga Brahmarshi will try to give him some geographical lessons? Can anyone imagine that? I can't imagine. You can't imagine either. Because he knows the seriousness of the situation. Shuga Brahmarshi's interest is to make Parikshit realize there is only one truth here. And that truth, consciousness, pure consciousness is Krishna. And that truth is Krishna. And to get this point across and realize, make Parikshit realize that he is a part of that truth. Not different from him. That is Aham Brahmasmi realization. He is Brahma himself. So to put Parikshit on that stage, on that situation, things have to be spoken in a way that will elevate him to that state of consciousness. So that is why it is saying that these 16, 26 chapters, 16 to 26, is all about this creation spoken in a way that Parikshit sees that as Krishna's manifestation, not different from Krishna. For normally, in this world, we see things, everything separate from Krishna. World is separate, God is separate, and we are separate. Three separate things. But these three are called Tribhudi. Before we realize I am Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi comes, we have to come out of these three things, this triangle. Jagata, Jiva, Ishvara. God is somewhere, world is separate, I am separate. This is the highest level where all other religious philosophies have reached. Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat finishes there. But Vedantam and Vedam says, no, that is only in the early stages. Higher stages when they all are one. That they are not different. Ishvara is not different. Jiva is not different. Jagat is not different. They are all one in that state. So, it is at that time Parikshit asked this question that there is a thing called karma vibhagam. Karma vibhagam means that how come, it's an interesting question, how come in this world people are getting different experiences that you can see. Every one of us get concerned. Why is it like this? For example, see two of us, we are eating the same food. We are living in the exactly same place, consuming the same water, sunshine, and living in this world, doing the same work, everything. But we get different problems in life. Why? This question Parikshit asked. He was saying that, and that is called karma vibhagam. Karma vibhagam means this karmam coming back in a different way, in a variety of ways, right? That means our karma, what we have done in the past, it's coming back to us and giving us different experiences in life. Different experiences in life. And we have to face that, is it not? Like the karma that we have done in the past is called sanchitam. It is stored up inside. And it becomes prarabdham. For us, it becomes prarabdham. So, that process of how sanchita karmam becomes prarabdha karmam, Shiva Brahmarshi wants to talk about it. To make Parikshit realize, that is how he answered that question. You see, we expect that if two people are living in a same place, in the same way, and eating same food, and living ideal similar life, they should not get different illnesses. But two people get two different type of illnesses. So he asked this question to Parikshit. Is thinking about it. Parikshit asked this question, why they are getting different diseases, why they get different life, experiences in life. Their problems are different and they suffer differently. Why? It shouldn't happen, isn't it? Because according to our philosophy, if everything is done similarly, we should get the similar result. But that's not happening though. We are getting different experiences in life. Right? So, it was at that time, he said, that you have to understand, he said, when Sanchita Karma becomes Prarabdham, how it works. Right? So, he will talk about it a little bit in the last chapter. And he said to Parikshit, some people are happy in this world and some people are suffering in this world. Why? Why is that happening? Right? So, and after some time, these people who are happy one time, they become very distressed. And some people who are very distressed, they become happy also. So this constant changing of happiness and distress is happening to people. And at one time, no two people are happy. One person is happy, another person is in distress. Constantly, if you look at the world outside, you can see this. Somebody is enjoying happily. He is not bothered about COVID or Corona or anything. He is having his football matches and all his other plans, whatever he has got, to enjoy life. And he is all thinking about all those things. Another one thinking is that, what is this life all about? Can't even go outside. And having a lot of problems in life and so many other issues. So everyone, if you look at it, they are all in different state of consciousness. Isn't it? Somebody is happy, somebody is suffering. Why? That was the question, right? And why does it happen continuously changing to everybody? And the king, Parikshit, asked this question. Everybody should have the same experience, isn't it? Because they are all living in the same world. Why they are all getting different experiences like that, right? So, Shivaprahmarshi asked Parikshit, how do you expect everybody to have the same experience? He said, right? Because first thing, everybody is doing different work. Different kinds of work people are doing. And result of that is, when it comes out, comes out from that work, even though they are doing similar work, the thoughts behind that work is different for people. Two people are doing one job, same job, but the two people are approaching that work differently. And the two people, this work is creating different impression in them. Karma vasana, it's called. The vasana that is created by the work in two different people, even though they are doing the same work, is different. In one person who think I am the doer and doing it with extreme sincerity, expecting full results from that, he will have one result. The one who is doing it without any attachment, oh, I have to just do it, it's just passing through it and finish that, he will have a different result. Now, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentioned that, you remember? Logasya srajade prabhu. Bhalam karmam, don't connect it together, Krishna said. So, what his point is that, the way why two people think like that, Shuka Brahmarshi is saying, people are in the different modes of nature. Some people are in sattugunam, some people are in rajogunam, and some people are in tamogunam, right? So, people engage in activities based on their gunam. For example, if someone who has a lot of tamogunam built up, ignorance has built up, tamogunam has built up a lot, their mind will always be looking for how to give trouble to others as much as possible. To give trouble others, and they will do in such thing, they will do such things with the intention of how to disturb others as much as possible. And that will come back to them for what they are doing, right? With much more powerful way, 100 times more powerful for all the troubles they are given to others, it will come back to them later, right? And this is spoken, it's called Mahat Adhijaram Adhikramam. If you look into the 5th canto, you will find there Bharata Rehugana Samvadam. If you look at it, how he calls it. In the 9th chapter, 19th verse, Evam Eva Khalu Mahar Abhijara Adikramam Karlstein Altmane Bhalati, he says here. Evam Eva Khalu, 5919. Evam Eva Khalu, Mahar Abhijara Adikramam Karlstein Altmane Bhalati, he says. That Mahatadikramam means that if sometimes people give trouble to Mahatmas in a big way, right? And it will come back to them 100 times more powerful and destroy them in that way. This happens many times. This has happened, right? So, with this tamogunam inside, when it builds up, and it develops to such a level that you start giving trouble to everybody in that way, naturally it will come back to you in an, that they don't know. Because of tamogunam, it works like that. You are not able to see the, because his thinking power is gone with tamogunam, and he is just acting in this world in ignorance, giving trouble to everybody, and he is only bothered about himself, his happiness in this world. Nothing else matters in that way. He goes on doing it. And when it comes back to him, it comes with much more powerful way. It comes back to him. That's what it said here. That is in that chapter, Shuka Brahmarshi mentions that. Mahadadikramam, he says, eva veva, eva meva khalu, mahad abhijara adikramam, karsnein altmane bhaladi. It will come back, he said. In one verse, it's even small, short sentence, he put that in there. So, and similarly, and we will have to suffer a lot for that. Parobhagara punyayam papaya parapidanam. Vedavyasa Maharshi says this. So, what is punyam, what is papam? This question, right? Result of papam, sinful activities, is distress in life. And result of punyam, pious activities, is happiness. So, he says here, what is papam punyam? That he is talking about it in very summary form. He is saying, Subramashi don't want to waste much time on all these things because he hasn't got much a lot of time left. Who Parishit, right? He said that it will take crores and crores of verses to talk about this punyam papam alone. But I'll tell you in summary, he said, Parobhagara punyayam pavaya parapidanam, that activities which are beneficial for oneself and beneficial for others. Beneficial for others, they are pious activities. And any activity what you do which is giving trouble to others, that is sinful activity in that way. So some people, due to tamogunam inside, they will engage in sinful activities, right? And the way to come out of that tamogunam and that mindset is to hear shastram. That's the only way you can come out of it. But because of tamogunam, they will not listen to shastram. This is a big problem. If you don't take shastram seriously, then anything what you talk in this world has no authority behind it. So, salsangam is for that purpose, to scrutinize shastram and understand the authority of the shastram and what shastram is teaching us, right? So, if you keep listening to Bhagavadam and the experience of the personalities and what Shuka Brahmarshi has spoken here, the idea behind that is that we start realizing my attitude has to change. The way I am thinking about various things in this world, I have to change that myself. I have to change my nature or swabhavam, and in that way tamogunam will leave us. That's how you get rid of tamogunam, right? So, in that way, those who do not do this, who do not read shastram, who do not listen to shastram, who do not involve in realizing the effect of tamogunam, and due to tamogunam they themselves keep away from everything and they think everything is okay, I'm doing the right thing. Such people, and then they engage in other activities which are disturbing to others, and due to that they suffer in this world. They suffer in this world. Then this is one group, who tamogunam people. Then there is the rajogunis, who are in the mood of passion. What do? They will always be working for fruitive activities. They want results and they want to accumulate wealth. They are chasing for sense gratification, and for their sensual happiness they need money, and they will always be looking for accumulating wealth. Kamya karma, right? So the result of that, you can see this, people who are enjoying sense gratification, they are the people who are enjoying material life, sense gratification, right? And that's what they get. So tamogunam, those who are in tamogunam, they get one result. Those who are in rajogunam, they enjoy senses, sense gratification. And what about sattogunam? Those who are in sattogunam, you will see them whole life, they want to do something good for others. That's their nature. Some way they want to do something good for others. And in that way, they will live in this world. And what will happen to them? They will always get good things in life. The end result for them will be that they will be rewarded with better happiness in life. This is the secret of these three modes of nature. Tamogunis engage in activities, trying to exploit others, disturb others, and give trouble to others, and try to as much as possible, and enjoys doing that. And they get back result like this, which will be very frightening to them later. They will have to accept that, because it will be much more powerful when it comes back to them. Rajogunis, busy in accumulating wealth and acquiring as much as sense gratification as possible, and therefore they get those material happiness in that way. Sense gratification, basically. Sattugunam, in Sosun Sattugunam, think always about others. And in their life here in this world, they will try to do as best as they can for others' benefit. And they will get better results in from life, and they will live a life of peacefully in this world. So, initially, when the Parikshit asked this question, why this Vaijitrim? Vaijitrim means this diversity in these results coming like this. So, Shobhramashi said the reason is the three modes of nature. The three modes of nature is responsible for that. And in this way they live. And for several lifetimes they lived like this. And due to that, pious activities, sinful activities, the results are coming to them in this life in different ways. Right? At that time he said, Parikshit asked this question, whatever you have said I can understand, and you have talked about these different islands and then different varshams or sectors where Krishna is worshipped in a different forms there, and the different stotram with which he was worshipped, and all the planetary positions in the sky. In reality, you have spoken about all this creation like this, but you didn't speak much about these hellish planets. Why? He asked this question. When he asked this question, the reason for that was, he is feeling very guilty inside for what he has done. Shamigha Rishi was in meditation, and Parikshit knows what he did was totally inappropriate for a man of his background to take a dead snake and put it on the throat. So it's worrying him, why did you not talk about that hellish planets in detail? And or is it that you don't want to talk about it? That's how Parikshit put it to him. Right? So, now, these hellish planets. Have a short description of the hellish planets, right? Then, in all Puranam, every Puranam if you take, Valsya Puranam, Kurma Puranam, Vamana Puranam, Narasimha Puranam, Varaha Puranam, any Puranam you take, there is description of hellish planets. Not only in Bhagavatam, it's there. Bhagavatam, it's only one small chapter, 20-30 verses, that's all it is. In other Puranam, it is much more detailed than in the Bhagavatam, about the hellish planets, right? What is the reason that all Puranam talks about the hellish planets? Because what is Puranam means? Puranam means it's an expansion of the Vedam, isn't it? Vedic knowledge is spoken in a simplified way for the ordinary people to understand. That is what Puranam means. Vedic knowledge, knowledge in the Vedam and in the Upanishads, spoken in a way easy for the ordinary people to understand. That is what Puranam is, right? In other words, what is spoken in the Vedam expanded and explained in a way that it is little bit easier for us to follow, right? Now, here is why you have to understand the difference between Vedam and Puranam. Vedam is like this. Vedam is like a king gives you an order, right? He gives you an order and you follow it. When the king gives an order, you have no right to say no to him. You just obey it, isn't it? That is the style of the Vedam. The style of the Vedam is like that. It will tell you, do this and don't do this. That's all. That's how it says, right? There won't be any explanation for that. Why you shouldn't do it? Why I should do it? All this explanation don't come there. So this is the nature of everything in the Vedam. All through the Vedam, if you look, it is like that. The instructions are given and you obey it. There is no arguments there, no discussions or anything. That's the way Vedam works, right? When it comes to Puranam, it is different. Just like suppose you have a friend who tell you that, look, this is the situation, think about it, and he try to persuade you in a right direction. That's a good friend will do like that, isn't it? A good friend is supposed to persuade you to look at all aspects of the problem and then choose the right path. And he helps you to choose the right path and go along with that in life. That's what the nature of the Puranam is. Puranam is different from the Vedam in that way. That's the difference between Puranam and Vedam. So, Puranam is like a friend. It will tell you, he will point out, if you do these things, the result will be like this. If you do these things, it will come out nice, properly. If you do that thing, it will only come back to you and give you trouble later. So in this way, at every point it is telling you to do the right thing and help you to choose the right path in life. Because in life there is a lot of questions for ourselves. We do so many things in this world without knowing its implications, right? So to instruct us rightly at the right time, like a friend, that is what Puranam does. So now you understand the difference between Vedam and Puranam, right? Vedam is like a king. Authority of the Vedam is like that. You can't question anything. Do it and you will get the right result if you do the right thing. If you don't do it, you will be punished and you will suffer. That's why Vedam is. Vedam instructs like that, everything, right? So, ordinary people prefer to choose Puranam because of this. Because they can work with them. Whereas Vedam is too authoritative. Very authoritative it is, right? And just like sometimes wife give good advice to the husband, isn't it? Husband will be very excited about some things and he is finding it difficult to make a decision. Wife tells him in a sweet way, the wife tells him that don't worry about it and this, let's look at it this way. And through some persuasion, she makes him feel comfortable and does not feel very disturbed about issues like that. So just like a good wife helps a husband to remain peaceful in life, in family life, in the same way, Puranam does, this is what Puranam does to ordinary people. It helps a person, that is why people are more attracted towards Puranam rather than to Upanishads. For this reason only, that you can relate with it somehow. Because our nature is like that, our spiritual situation is like that. So, That means things are spoken to us in a particular way, in a sweet way, adding so many sweets to it, and how do you call it, you know, adding so many things to make it more palatable. In such a way the truth is spoken to us, right? And at the same time, it will engage us in such a way that you will end up in doing the right thing at the end, right? Or to remind us what our responsibility is here, right? So, having said all that, this Naragavarnana, or the description of the hellish planets, is there in all the Puranams. It's not in the Upanishads. It's only in the Puranams, this Naragavarnana. Now you know why. That if you don't say with these hellish planets and description of the hellish planets, it will help us, people like us, it will give a certain control on our rajogunam and tamogunam, to make us aware that if I do these things, this will come back to me. If not in this life, in another life, I will have to suffer. That fear is necessary for us. Because if it is not there, suppose I think that, oh, there's nothing going to happen, I can do what I want. If that mentality comes in, it is very dangerous, because then you will end up in serious problems, right? So, in Vedam, these two things are there. Which one? Vidhi and Nishedam. Do's and don'ts. It's there. Vedam is like that. Do's and don'ts, right? And you should do this and you should not do it, right? Vedam says you should not gamble. You shouldn't gamble, right? And Vedam says you shouldn't drink alcohol. These things, right? So, by saying like that, you have to follow it. You are not supposed to ask, why can't I drink? Or why can't I gamble? Vedam won't give you an answer for that. You shouldn't drink, that's it, finish there, right? So, in that way, to withdraw ourselves from that, that's called vidhi nishedam. What is allowed and what's not allowed, right? You can see that in situations where even great personalities, when they stepped out of the Vedam, they suffered. Good examples, one or two. I can tell you what happened to Yudhishthira. Gambling is not allowed. Vedam doesn't say that. You are not allowed to gamble. But somehow this habit developed among the Kshatriyas that they are allowed to gamble. So what happened? When Shaguni and Duryodhana invited him to gamble, he went in. He should have refused that. He forgotten that. That Vedic injunction he has forgotten. He went and gambled, and the result, you know what happened. It ended up in Draupadi's situation and all that, what you read in the Mahabharata. Similarly, you will also see Nala and Damayanti's story. That's in the ninth canto, mentioned a little bit. Similar situation. Nala was fond of gambling. So what happened to him at the end? Like this, there are situations where to withdraw ourselves from that, to take our attention away from that, it is spoken in this way. This is how Vedam is. But Vedam finishes there. Don't do it, that's it, finish there. But in Puranam, we have these hellish planets to do their job, to tell us that way, right? So, and that is Naragaloka Varnana. That means this description of the hellish planets. In Devi Bhagavatam, it is many chapters, these hellish planets. It is nothing what is given in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is very summary form. It has put it together. And the reason for that is, in the Devi Bhagavatam, Savitri is given instructions by Yamadharma Raja about hellish planets, right? And that is more frightening than what you read in the Bhagavatam. The description of the hellish planets in Devi Bhagavatam is much more frightening. Why? It's much more detailed than what is in the Bhagavatam. Many devotees don't want to read that chapter because it's it's somewhat it looks very shocking, isn't it, when you think about it. And that's why. There is another thing they say, that because Srimad Bhagavatam is the Sara Sangraham, Saram Saram Samudradam, Naragaloga Varnana also made it very summary form. So for what purpose it was put in the Bhagavatam? Only for this reason, to keep us aware that there is a reaction for everything what you do here. It's not that you can get away with anything, right? And take us away from the wrong life. That's all the purpose is, right? So, suppose you understand that certain actions is sinful, and if I get that concept in my mind that I shouldn't do this, then it is a sinful thing. Then in that case, I will refrain from doing that, right? Because I know if I do that, it will come back to me, and I will have to suffer in future for that. When I know that, why should I do it? This way I will think about it, and that's the idea behind it, right? And this Krishna will tell you from inside. Antaryami will remind you that, right? Just like you can see, these are things which you have observed yourself. Maybe you have not thought about it. People lock up birds, animals, everything for their happiness, preventing those birds and animals from their taking it away from them. They also have a right to live in this world freely. Like we like our freedom, they also like their freedom, don't they? Any animal or birds, they also like their freedom. Right? And birds have a right to fly around and enjoy the creation for them. Right? But we lock them up in the cage, and we are looking at them and enjoying it. I'm getting enjoyment from that bird locked up in a cage. Do you think I will get away with that? No, you won't. You will be locked up one day in the same way, and you have to pay for that. That's what the reaction is, right? So you may give it any food what the bird wants, from the best what you can get from the market, and give it to them, but the bird doesn't enjoy life like that. Its happiness is different. It enjoys its freedom to fly around and getting food in that way, and also enjoys its own freedom, what it's got, right? So if you lock them up, what happiness has it got, right? Even if you lock up in a golden chain, bondage is bondage, isn't it? Even if you are bound with a golden chain, if he takes away your freedom, chain may be gold, what's the use? Ultimately you feel the bondage, right? Therefore, similarly, animals also. And for our happiness, for our enjoyment, we lock them up, some animals also, in the same way. Say, calling them as pets or whatever you call them, right? And you give trouble to them. So the answer is that if you do like that, your results will be there for that. You got to pay for it. So some examples are there spoken in the way. Similarly, you can see that accepting guests properly, Atithi Devo Bhava, Matra Devo Bhava, Pitra Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, and similarly to see father, mother, everyone like Krishna's manifestation, they are, right? But all these things people won't listen today. If you say these things to them, they just don't take it anymore because they become so dull in their own way, right? And if you say this, that it upsets their mind that they didn't do it, the right thing. People whom you are supposed to protect them, you don't do that. And don't offer any respects to people who are telling you the right thing. That's another side of it. And only thing that is going through their head is, I should be happy in my life. That mentality builds up like that. So that's what you have to remember here, that only if you follow the rules and regulations, you will reach the goal, right? So similarly, in this chapter, for our benefit, to create that discriminative power in us, to see the right and wrong thing, a lot of things are spoken there. So, Vedam tells that in one way, and people don't want to follow Vedam, they move away from that, right? And the result will be that they will have to suffer the hell from there. Where is this hellish planets? Ask the question. They say that below the earthly planet, somewhere below that, in the Kausal ocean, on the top of that is this hellish planet. Shukha Brahmashi mentioned a location like that in the Bhagavadam, right? Now, we don't know where it is, isn't it? It's very difficult for us to comprehend this location of the hellish planet. Where is it? We don't know where is it. So therefore, what he said was that to make it easier for us, you don't have to go to hellish planets, he said. Hellish planets is in this world itself. Atraiva naraga sorgam iti madha prajakshade, said Kapila Maharshi to Devahuti Devi. My dear mother, don't break your head trying to find out where this hellish planets is. Atraiva naragam sorgam. This naragam and sorgam, heavenly planet and hellish planet, is right here in front of you. Iti madha prajakshade, he said. You will see this in the Kapila Maharshi's instructions to Devahuti Devi in the 30th chapter in Kapilam, 29th verse, right? So, whatever things that is spoken hellish planets, that suffering you can see here also in this world if you observe carefully, right? So, equally, the happiness that is spoken in the heavenly planets, the higher standard of happiness, material happiness, you can see that also in this world. In this world. Then where is heaven and hell? He said, it is already here itself, right? People who find it difficult, or finding it difficult to believe that there is separately hellish planets and heavenly planets, those who are finding it difficult to believe that, Kapila Maharshi is saying to Devahuti that they are already here in this world if you look at them carefully, he said. And he says here, where is the hellish planets here in this world, right? Description of the hellish planets in the Bhagavadam, there it says that after leaving this gross body, we will be taken to the Yamadharma's planet, Yamaraja's planet, and there we will be pierced with tridents, and also with our body will be pierced with various things, and you will feel acute pain at that time, right? Is there such a thing happening here today? So, all you have to do is to sometimes go to certain wards in the hospital and see the suffering there going through. People go through such horrendous conditions there in the hospital, but soul is not leaving the body. And these doctors, they keep on trying to keep it going to the last minute. You are lying there with all the tubes and pipes and everything connected to your body. And you know that you don't even know what is happening to yourself, to this body, right? And people who are supposed to be looking after you, they come to look at you and they are thinking probably that, why is he suffering? Why doesn't he go? Why is he not leaving? Because he knows that there is no way coming back to the a healthy situation again. But sometimes it can go on for days and months and years sometimes. People have to go through this. When you see that, what does that remind you? Do you need another description of the hell? Is that not sufficient? What you see in the hospital with them. And many, many places, because we don't go to hospital and everything is kept locked there, you can't go inside and see what's going on there. You just think that what a life this is. And the suffering that comes from that. And there is no way that you can leave the body also. And all kinds of, you get to ask the doctors, they'll tell you what all they do with that body, trying to keep it going somehow. It's a very frustrating experience, but and suffering of life, right? So when you see that, it will remind you how correct the rishis have spoken things about these things, right? And you also notice another interesting thing. What is that? Some people live in this world without too much suffering. That means they didn't even get hurt. A small injury didn't happen to them. They were reasonably healthy and they got through life somehow. Reasonably healthy. 70, 80 years they lived without serious problems, and they have managed their life without too much suffering, and they left this world. Right? But some other people, throughout their life, they have problems with the body. You can see all these things, is it not? If you observe carefully, some people, they are always either making this appointment or that appointment. If it is not GP, it is dentist. If it is not dentist, it's something else. Constantly appointments and appointments and appointments, one after the other. And you start thinking, what life is this all about? And then if he is not going to this pharmacy, he is going to another pharmacy. If it is not there, you are with somebody else. Acupuncture or whatever. So many options, or homeopathy, Ayurveda, massaging, this, that, one thing or the other. So some people suffer heavily in life, constantly giving trouble to the body one way or the other, and constantly thinking, what is now happening to this body? Problems in all over the body, in every area, if you take it. Whether it is one side, it could be, because it is in our daily life, every day you are going through this. And is this life? Do you need to go to hellish planets? Is this not enough hell? Do you need another hellish planets to experience all this? Life itself is a hell. So some people, they suffer heavily in life. Especially some chronic illnesses, when you get like cancer, stroke, and so many things like that, when it happens, you look at their life, there is no happiness in life left. Requires assistance and help from other people to get fed, to bathe, to wash, and you can't even have a smile any time, because there's nothing in life. Body has become such a burden. And is there any need to go to hellish planets? Right now you are seeing this, is it not? So, if you look at all these things, you will understand what the rishis are saying to us, right? So, if you think about all these things in a very subtle level, you can understand this 100% what they have spoken is a real thing, is the truth, is the truth. So, therefore, we have to be careful while living in this world, that there's no point in saying, oh, I didn't know about it. There's no point in saying that at the end. Knowingly or unknowingly, if you do things, the results will come like that. And Krishna has given us that intelligence and Shastram for this purpose, to know about it. And there are personalities Krishna has given to them to wake us up from our ignorance. Uttishtada, Jagrada, Prapyavara, Nibhodida. He says, wake up from our ignorance and start seeing things from a different way in life, rather than simply always thinking about the body and thinking about one's own happiness. So there he says there that to seeing a spiritual master who can instruct you properly on all these things, that Krishna is saying there that if you have the inquisitiveness in your mind, and then Krishna himself will come in the form of a guru in front of you, right? In the Puranjana Vakyanam, if you look in the fourth canto, you will find how Krishna comes in the guru form and how he instructs there. That Puranjana Vakyanam story is all based on this. Krishna appears at the end as a brahmana and takes that Puranjani from here, from this world. That story is there. Only thing is the jignasa should be there. Once that jignasa comes, Krishna will give us the opportunity for that. All these things you learn from the Bhagavatam. So those who don't have the jityasa, even for them, whatever time is left in life, if you think in these directions, they will get that opportunity. Sometimes we think that my life is over now. There is not much I can do in this life. And when will that discrimination will come back to me? There is no point in thinking like that. If the right attitude comes in, seriousness about analyzing life and learning from life, that this is what the life is about, and proper understanding of that, then the darkness will go from inside. Just like they say, in a dark room, the moment you bring a light inside, torch inside, the darkness is gone. In the same way, within ourselves, for the proper knowledge to develop within, it doesn't take very long. It doesn't take very long. So, and due to good fortune of having to associate with a Mahatma like that, if that Mahatma thinks for a second, let him become conscious of a spiritual identity, and that Mahatma feels that, then naturally you will get that mercy from him in that way. Everything you will come to know. This is the importance of Jnani. Jnani is Pratyekata, right? So, Sada Sevya, Sada Sevyam. If you look into Bhagavadam, you will find that third chapter, in the glorifications, it says, Sada Sevya, Sada Sevyam. 25 verse. The four Kumaras are saying this. Sada Sevya, Sada Sevyam. Srimal Bhagavadi Katha. Yasya Shravana Matrena Haril Chitram Samashrayet. Yasya Shravana Matrena Haril Chitram Samashrayet. That if you keep hearing Srimal Bhagavatam regularly, this discrimination power will develop within ourselves. And so, what Shuga Brahmarshi did, he told Parikshit, listen very carefully, he said. And then he spoke to him about the hellish planets. He spoke to him about the hellish planets. So, the idea was to withdraw him from the, bring him into the path of, withdraw him from the wrong path and bring him to the path of dharma. Path of dharma, right? To get our attention to dharma, which is a difficult thing. Most of us do what we think is right, isn't it? But is that dharma or not? That question will always come. So all the shastram, the goal of all the shastram is to bring us to the path of dharma. Because if there is no dharma, there is no spiritual life either. Yeah. So, for example, when you hear Bhagavatam, different episodes in the Bhagavatam, you are hearing, right? So when you are hearing that, from there you will find certain things you have to know. Importance of that. Yeah. Shastram will say it, and you will start noticing it, that I lack this, what spoken in the Bhagavatam. And then your mind will start thinking in that way, that that is the right way to conduct the life. Take for example, Hrishabhadev spoke. That is Upadesham it is. It is called Hrishabha Upadesham. Hrishabha Upadesham it is called. Like Krishna's Upadesham to Uddhava, this is another Upadesham in the Bhagavatam. Hrishabha Upadesham. Kapila Upadesham. Kapila was a Rishi, wasn't it? So he gave Upadesham to his mother, who Devahuti. So that is called Kapilopadesham. Hrishabhadev gave Upadesham to his children, 100 children. The eldest was Bharata. So those 100, and then he invited all the people around to come. Because he was leaving, handing over the empire to Bharata. And he was leaving, was he not? So before he left, he gave what he called as Rishabhopadesham. That Rishabhopadesham, right? So, if you study Hrishabhopadesham,
What will you realize from that? You will start realizing things what he has spoken, who Rishabhadev to Bharata and others. And from that Upadesham, Bharata Maharshi, Bharata Yogeshwara later, Bharata, King Bharata, who became Janabharata later, he took those instructions seriously and he left the kingdom when it was the right time for him to leave. Otherwise, it is not easy to leave kingdom like that. He left and went away to Nepal, to the, the Gandaki River, where he performed his penances, right? So, lot of things what you need to know is there in the Rishabhavadesham. If you study it, think about it, you have to think also and analyze your life also in the background of those instructions, Rishabhavadesham. Similarly, if you study Kapilopadesham also, Kapila Maharshi's instructions to Devahuti, you will find a lot of things there what is required in our life, applicable to us. Is it not? Kapilopadesham, 25 to 33 chapters, third canto, is a science in itself, Kapilopadesham, Sankhyam. And Vedavyasa has taken that part of Kapila Maharshi's teachings, not everything from the Sankhyam. But if you study that Kapilopadesham alone, that is sufficient. If you can study any Upadesham 100%, absorb it, then that is enough. Either Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, Uddhava Upadesham, or Kapilopadesham, or Shubhopadesham, any Upadesham, if you can churn it very well inside and change your understanding of it, and then that alone is sufficient in life. That is how Bhagavadam is, right? Similarly, if you go in the market, right? This is just to tell you how Vedavyasa has compiled Bhagavadam. His way of looking at Bhagavadam. When you look into in some streets when you walk, the shopkeeper will hang outside some good stuff, what he knows people will like to buy, right? One or two good things he will hang outside. But if you go inside and look at other things, there's a lot of useless things also in the shop. But it's a marketing technique what the shopkeepers do. They'll hang out something nice and something will sell very well, and something like that he will hang outside. One or two pieces he will sell outside. So people will get attracted to it and they will go inside the shop thinking that something. Kundi Sudhi and Bhishma Sudhi is like that in the Bhagavadam. When the Bhagavadam started, two gems he hung outside. One was Kundi Sudhi, other one was Bhishma Sudhi. If you study those two Sudhis very well, you have understood Bhagavadam. What Bhagavadam is saying to us, right? In this way, if you take in the Srimad Bhagavadam at different places, you will find a lot of things in the form of Sudhi and Upadesham, which will help you to mold your own life and to understand this world properly, right? So, similarly, through that Janmadhyasyataha, that verse, the whole Vedantam, Vedavyasa Maharshi has put that in, through that verse, right? And similarly, in the second verse, he said about dharma. First verse is about the truth. Second verse is about dharma, right? And our whole responsibility, he spoke in that second verse. Dharma projjita kaida votra varamo nirmal saranam satam vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tavatrayo inmulanam. Srimal Bhagavade Mahamunikrde Kimba Pareri Shwara Sadhyo Kradya Varudade Tragradabi Shushru Shubhi Talchanal. In that second verse, dharmam is spoken. Dharmam is spoken. Dharmam is a very difficult thing. There is no equivalent English word for that, for this word dharmam. In so many ways, so many people have spoken what dharmam is. In Bhagavadam itself, it says Veda Pranihido Dharmam. It says, what Vedam says is dharma. And Krishna begins Bhagavad Gita, dharma kshetre kuru kshetre. There also dharma. Everywhere this word will come, dharmam, and people get. Ramayanam says, Ramo vigrahavan dharmam. Dharmam personified is Ramachandra. It says, Ramo vigrahavan dharmam. So, what is this dharmam? That is what that second verse is saying. That Janmadhyasa Yadaha, the first verse is Brahmam, Dharma prajita kaitavam, that is dharmam. And if it is there, then the human race will be have proper knowledge, how to look at life, how to live in this world, right? You may not understand everything, and it is not possible to know everything about dharma. It is not possible to know everything about dharma. In Bhagavatam it says, dharmostu sakshat bhagavat pranidam. Na devidu krishayo nabideva, na siddha mukhya, asura manushya, kutascha vidhya adara charanadeya. Sri Yamadharmaraja is saying there, dharmostu sakshat bhagavat pranidam. The only person who knows dharma is Krishna. Na devidu, rishis also don't understand dharma. Demigods also don't know what is dharma. Na devidu krishayo nabideva. Siddha, na siddha mukhya, asura, manushya. Asuras don't understand dharma. Manushya, human being also don't know dharma. Siddhas, realized persons, they also don't know dharma. Kudascha vidyadara charanadaya. Vidyadaras don't know, charanas don't know dharma. Nobody understands dharma. Only Krishna knows what is dharma. That is how complex this word dharma is. Right? So here, saying that, he says here that you won't be able to know everything. And when, just like Shukha Brahma Rishi mentioned in the beginning, that to expand on this gross form of Krishna, which is this creation, even if I have the whole lifespan of a demigod, I won't be able to do it, he said. Because that is how difficult it is to explain the Krishna's gross manifestation, right? You will see there in the fifth canto, in the 16th chapter, he said this. What he said about this? That he cannot, he said, in the fourth verse, he says. He says, 3.16.4, Krishiruvacha. Navai Maharaja, Bhagavado Maya Guna Vibhude, Kashtam, Manasa, Vajasa, Vadigandamalam, Vibhudayushabi, Purushastasmat, Pradhani Neva, Bhugolaga Vishesham, Nama Rupa Mana Lakshanado, Vyakhyasyama. First of all, creation is Maya Guna Vibhudi. It is Maya, this creation. So, to try to explain Maya is difficult. Who can explain Maya? Maya Guna Vibhudi. It is a Vibhudi, opulence of this Maya, this creation, right? Manasa Vajasa Vadigandumalam Vibhudayushabi Purushastasmal Pradhani Neiva Bhogolaga Vishesham. According to its importance, I will explain certain things about it. Namarubamana Lakshanadam. Namarubam is the present everything, name and form. Vyakhyasyama, he says. And that he has said, Varnaityama, he said, Vyakhyasyama. And in the verse before that he said, Bhagavado gunamaye sthula rupam aveshidam mano agunevi sushmadamam atma jyotishu pare brahmani bhagavati vasudevakhe kshamam aveshidam tadu aidat gurorhanasyanum varnayitumiti. So when Shukha Brahma Rishi started speaking this fifth canto, he is very conscious of the problem what Parikshit will have. And unless it is spoken in a very particular way, he won't understand it. That is why he mentioned there to Shukha Brahma Rishi, to Parikshit, that everything you have to understand, it is Krishna's Vibhudi. Krishna's another form is this world. That concept should come inside, he said. Otherwise it won't work. I will give you somewhat, he said, somewhat explanation to that. And then he talked about the planetary systems, hellish planets. If you study all these things, the benefit is you won't go in the wrong path. You will stay in the wrong path. It is only for that purpose this was spoken. And he himself says, if you look at the last verse in the canto, that means chapter 26, there's 26 chapters, and the last verse, if you look at, you will see. What does he say? Bhu dvipa varsha saridadri dhapa samudram. പാതാളഭി നരകഭാഗണ ലോകസംസ്ഥ ഗീതാമയ തവ നൃപാദ്ഭുതം ഈശ്വരസ്യ സ്ഥൂലം വപു സകല ജീവനികായ ധാമ.
ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹൗ ഹി കൺക്ലൂഡ്സ് ദി ഡിസ്ക്രിപ്ഷൻ ഓഫ് ദ ഹെലിഷ് പ്ലാനറ്റ്സ്. ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഹി ഈസ് സേയിങ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് ക്രിയേഷൻ സകല ജീവനികായ ധാമ സ്ഥൂലം വപു.
കൃഷ്ണസ് ദിസ് ഗ്രോസ് ബോഡി is the shell, is the one where all living entities live in this Krishna's gross body. It is the shelter of all the living entities. Whichever species you take, their shelter, their abode is this Krishna's gross body. Sthulam Vabhu means Krishna's gross body. Sagala Jiva Nigaya Dhamma. All jivas take shelter of this gross body. Whose gross body? Krishna's gross body. Take shelter of this gross body. Gidamayam Tavanruva Bhudam Ishwarasya, he says. So, so, for all living entities, Krishna's this gross body is their shelter. And therefore, none of you are separate from Krishna. You are a part of Krishna's body. We are all part of Krishna's body. And that living force inside us is a part of Krishna, part of Krishna. And try to realize that, he says here. Try to realize that. And to bring that awareness inside us, it is spoken like that. And so, remember, earlier we said, what is fifth canto? Sthanam. Isn't it? Sargam, Visargam, Sthanam. Sargam, third canto. Visargam, fourth. Sthanam is the fifth canto. Right? Sthanam means, what does sthanam mean? Sthanam means present in everywhere, in everything, and protecting and maintaining it. That is sthanam. That Krishna is present in everything, in everywhere. You can see the vastness of this Vedic traditions. There are so many countries, they got the name sthan along with that, isn't it? Including Pakistan and Afghanistan, Tajikistan, how many? Uzbekistan, this sthan, that sthan. Where did this came from? Shows the influence of the Vedic way of life. At one time, it was spread all over. That's indication of that. That's sthanam. Sthanam is coming from that. Is it not? So, what that means is that present in everywhere, in all places, and protecting everything and maintaining it. And that is done through, in the form of Manu, he does that, in the form of Indra, and in the earthly planet, in the form of kings, and in that way, Krishna is protecting this creation. So, Krishna's this gross form is for that purpose. Wherever you look, you see Krishna's maintaining it in through some source, through some way, right? So, if you think like that, then it is possible to change our way of thinking in life, and to change our activities also as karma yoga. As karma yoga. Every karma. So, and every karma as Ishwara Aradhana, worshipping Krishna in that way. So, those who do like that, they will have the peace inside, shanti inside. He's saying here, Edasman avaram kinjit manashuddhi na vidyade. So, therefore, for this purpose, one has to hear Srimad Bhagavatam a lot. And this Naragavarnana, or the hellish planets, also is a part of that. And in Vedam also, the space thing is spoken. In Vedam, the same planetary description, like in the fifth canto, is spoken in the Vedam through the Purusha Suktam prayers. Sahasra Shirsha Purusha onwards, Atyadishta Deshangulam, Purusham Evedam Sarvam, Edavadasya Mahima. This is the Purusha Suktam prayers, which is not mentioned as it is in the Bhagavadam, but Shukha Brahmarshi has put the essence of Purusha Suktam prayers in the Bhagavadam, in the second canto. Padala Medasihi Padamulam, those verses, right? But Purusha Suktam prayers is the one used in the temples for the deity worship. That's what they use, Purusha Suktam. And it is chanted every day in every, most of the big temples, they do it. Similarly, there is also Vishnu Suktam, it's called. So, if you study that Purusha Suktam prayers, what you get from there You will get that from this fifth canto, if you study fifth canto. So it is not only the structure of the universe, Bhugola Varnana, that's not the only one. The essence of many other shastram also is brought into this fifth canto. That is another important thing, right? Similarly, the planetary positions, their nature, similarly, so many other things, astrology also to some extent in the fifth canto. All the big astrologers, they study fifth canto because they find astrology in the fifth canto. There's few famous astrologers who studied fifth canto seriously because the planetary positions, everything is spoken in the fifth canto. And all you can say is that when you study this fifth canto, naturally you can only say this, that Krishna gives us the intelligence to get attracted to all this knowledge in the Bhagavadam and to have some effect on us to see life in a different way than what we are used to, right? So, and overall you can only say this much, that this fifth canto is very elaborate, it is, for those who have wants to understand in depth. It's a big thing, in the sense that Vedam comes in, astrology comes in, astronomy comes in, so many things comes into it. And this is not our scope to cover, and we don't have that knowledge to explain it that way. So highly learned people can only explain it in that way, right? So, but what we have done is just to get a brief idea, right? That only to say this topic is very serious. It's not just a geography spoken. It's not like that, right? At least to appreciate, offer our respects to this fifth canto for the knowledge that has been summarized in this canto. Also, at the end it said that whether knowingly or unknowingly, if you do wrong things, you will get back the result from that, according to what you have done, whoever does that, right? So, if it is like that, knowingly we do a lot of wrong things, knowingly. What to talk about unknowingly? None of us can say that. So, if knowingly, Bhagavatam is saying, knowingly or unknowingly, if you do things, what should I do when the results come? It is at that time that sixth canto comes in. In 19 chapters, this thing called a portionam was spoken. Parikshit was very upset at the end of fifth canto. Is there any way to escape from this? Because after hearing the hellish planets, Parikshit thought that he is on his way there after what he has done. Not only Shamigha Rishi, he has put this dead snake on the... Apart from that, he has done other things as well in his life. King means what? He has to enforce justice. And in that process, something can go wrong, isn't it? Wrong decisions you could have made. And you will have to get the result for that. And similarly, you could have done several other hunting they must have done. Kshatriya kings, they do that for happiness and killed animals in that process. And lot of other things as well, you know, in the enforcement of justice. And things can go wrong in the administration, so many things. So Parikshit is conscious of all these things, and he is thinking that, is there no escape from this situation? It was at that time, the next canto, which is the sixth canto, they choose to talk about this Krishna's, this one particular feature of Krishna called the Poshanam. So that is why, what is Poshanam? Poshanam tadanugraha. That's how Bhagavatam says. Poshanam tadanugraha. That means Krishna is like that. Then you know that you have done a lot of wrong things in life, knowingly or unknowingly, and you don't know what to do now. a stage has come in life that I have no answer to it, these problems. So at that time, that the only option then that is left is to take Krishna shelter completely. And if you do that, Krishna will protect you from the things what you have done. Not that you will be free from the punishment, but you will be able to get through it without getting hurt. Punishment is like that, isn't it? Suppose you are punished heavily, but if it is not affecting your mind, you may be able to get through it. Like Prabhupada used to say that sometimes certain things what you have done, Krishna will give you a very heavy punishment in the dream and get you through that. Instead of punishing you in the awakened state, he'll punish you in the dream state and you will get through that problem that way. And that time you have to think that instead of experiencing in the awakened state, I've been put through the dream state and got through it. This dream state is a very funny phenomenon. What all you experience there, without your knowledge, things are happening. Things are coming one after the other. You didn't choose them. It comes. Is it not? And it happens, right? So here also, this poshanam is for that purpose, that devotees who have suffered heavily in life, and at the end who took Krishna's shelter and they escaped from the hell. It is their history, the sixth canto. You will see all the personalities in the sixth canto. If you look at them, you will see there they had done wrong things and they were punished for that, but ultimately they escaped from everything and got back to Krishna. Chitrakedu, Vritrasura, and all that story is all about that. It's the sixth canto he's talking about. Ajamila to begin with. Indra, how many wrong things he did. Indra done a lot of wrong things. After all, he is Indra, isn't it? So, offended his guru, killed his spiritual master, killed his brother. So many things he did there. In spite of all that, Indra took Krishna shelter. Indra escaped from everything. So, this Poshanam is one of the important things what a devotee is dependent on. Thing called Poshanam. It is through Poshanam to the Anugraha, Krishna's mercy that is. It's just mercy, that's all. Come, but you can't sit tight and say, oh, I'm waiting for the mercy to come and I'm doing my life whatever way I like. That's not depending for mercy. Mercy won't come like that. Mercy depends upon the large extent on the surrender to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. So, therefore, that is why he said there, to see the devotees and to absorb these things from the Bhagavatam, Salsangam. Salsangam, Shevadhir Nirnam. In the Navayogi Samvadam, you will see they are mentioned there. So, wherever Krishna says, devotees are talking about me or what I have spoken to others who are discussing, my presence is there, Krishna is saying. Right? So if it is like that, when you hear Srimad Bhagavatam in this way, therefore you can see that Krishna's presence is always there, and we have to study Srimad Bhagavatam in that way. Srimad Bhagavatam in that way. So important thing is to hear Bhagavatam all the time. There is so much in the Bhagavatam, and if you keep hearing that, you will see that it will have an effect, impact on us in due course. If you give time to think about everything, what is spoken in the Bhagavatam. So, we'll have a break and then we will... With that, we finish that fifth canto. So, fifth canto, I just wanted to say this much. That fifth canto is not what you read in the internet and what you read in the websites. Yeah, about the explaining the gross and $1 million investment. That's not fifth canto. Fifth canto is telling us what is expected from the fifth canto is this. To see Krishna's presence in this creation and to connect this creation with Krishna. It is meant for those whose mind is completely in the world outside, who is finding it difficult to inward looking nature. It is for their benefit that this was spoken, and in such a way, Shukabrahmarshi is saying there, that somehow or the other make this creation connected with Krishna. Creation cannot exist separate from Krishna. Creation is Krishna himself in another form. And able to change our way of looking at things, even though it is external, outside. That was the purpose of this fifth canto. So that was just a important thing. What we'll do now, we will, after the break, we'll go back to our topic, what we started with. Atma Tattva Prapti. We'll go back to that.